before we dig in the Word of God. Father, thanks for your Word. Thanks for just seeing into our world and our situation, our worries, our concerns, our questions, and giving us wisdom for the times, straight from the pages of the Scripture, even from pages that were written over 1,000 years ago. You give us insight that we need for today. And Lord, you're going to do the same this morning as we look into this next section, and then next week as we wrap this series up, Lord, just you're going to guide us. These are lessons from your Word that we need to grab on, especially in light of the times that we're in right now. So I pray for your guidance this morning. I just pray that you will just let us hear from you. Not from me, from you. I pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Been in a series called Wisdom for the Times because these are challenging times. There are question marks. If you're a follower of Christ and you're looking at the world around you, there are question marks that are on our minds. Things that we are faced with right now and where it seems like the world is upside down in some of these areas. And so we've been working through this series. And this morning, I think there's going to be a little change of direction in the sense that I think part of the challenge in the middle of wisdom for this time, and especially when we sense in our own selves maybe a heaviness, a concern, maybe worse than that, maybe if a feeling of distance from God in our own walk, in our own lives. Part of wisdom for the times is learning to look to our own heart. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. As we do that, you've heard the phrase before, it's time to clean house. You know, it's time to clean house. And I will let you know, no, I was not at any of your homes this week with my white gloves. No need to squirm. Did he come by and you didn't tell me? I may come this afternoon, but no, I'm kidding. I'm coming to your house this afternoon. I will. Now, after I told this morning, someone said, you're sleeping on the couch tonight, aren't you? So hopefully not. But when our kids were young, my wife was fanatical about cleaning the house. In fact, the big joke around our house was, you don't let go of your drink. Because if you set it down, it was gone, dumped, and in the fridge, in the dishwasher. I mean, it was that fast. That was just a... You would often hear around our house, hey, where did my drink go? And then a few minutes later, Mom! It was just the way. Now, she has mellowed some in her... Oh, I almost said old age. She has mellowed some since she's had grandkids. They get away with a lot more than we did back in the day. You can ask any of my kids if that's not the truth. But, it's a phrase we hear a lot in other contexts as well. A business is going through a hard time, and they decide, we need to clean house. We need to, skim off the unnecessary thing. We may need to get rid of some employers who their heart just really isn't in it. You know, they're just not good for the company. They're not good for morale, and so we need to clean house. Or they might say it in reference to, they diversify, but they've diversified to the point where they're not doing anything well now. They're doing a lot of stuff, but they're not doing well. And they say, we need to clean house. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to what we're really good at, and we need to focus there. Every 4 years, not every 4 years, but, everyone, periodically, we have a change in the White House, and they talk about cleaning house. A lot of firing goes on, a lot of reassigning positions. Cleaning house it's good. It can be negative sometimes. It can be hard, certainly, sometimes, as you try to figure out what is it is the unnecessary things in my life that are distracting me. And that's what it's about, refocusing, getting priorities back where they need to be, ridding ourselves of things that are pulling us away from what we say is really important. That's a positive thing. And times, it's exactly what we need. And maybe especially in times like these, as we continue to search for wisdom in the midst of sometimes what feels like a world that's gone mad. And we try to find in that madness our own stability, our own anchor, some solid ground. So 1 Samuel chapter 7. Now remember, let's kind of set the scene. The Israelites are in a really rough patch. They have just gone through a number of horrific experience, tough experience. They have been routed by their enemies on several occasions. In fact, last week we saw they lost 34,000 men. Two different battles, but they lost 34,000 men, and it was really because of bad decisions on their part, moving forward without addressing God, asking him if that's what he wanted them to do. And then on top of that, they added to that bad decision by thinking that they could somehow force God's hand. Remember we talked about that? They thought, well, okay, let's do this. If we take the Ark of the Covenant, which is a focus of their worship, if we take the Ark of the Covenant in the battle, then God's going to have to give us success because he'll want to protect his reputation. And so they took the Ark into a battle, and that's the battle where they lost 30,000 men. And the Ark was carried away by the enemies. And then eventually God brings the Ark back to them. God does it, remember, because everywhere went with the Philistines, it caused trouble. People got sick, and their faith God was falling on his face and breaking off arms and stuff. And so they finally said, we got to get this out of here. So they sent it back to Israelite territory. And then the Israelites, we looked at, they decide, well, let's get it back to Jerusalem where it needs to go. But instead of looking at God's word and being sensitive to God's heart about how to handle this very significant part of their worship, remember that they copied the enemy. they didn't pay attention to God's commands at all. They just did what the Philistines did. And they said, let's try that. They worked for them. So everything they've been doing has been falling apart around their ears. One bad decision after another, one heartache after another, one lost battle after another. It's just a mess for them. Nothing's working. Nothing is going right. And maybe you're in a season like that right now where you'd say, you know, nothing seems to be right. I have made so many bad decisions. I feel like every time I turn around and make a decision, it's the wrong thing. It hurts somebody or gets somebody upset with me, and I don't know where, I don't know what's going on. What's happening? Your important relationships are in the tank. Your boss, you look at him and he seems like he's scowling at you every time. You don't know if it's your imagination on it, but sure looks like he is. Your wife is giving you the silent treatment, or maybe worse yet, the D word has come up. Just nothing feels right. Your goals are not happening. You're not even sure they're the right goals anymore. When we're in that kind of a place, maybe the good part of that is usually or hopefully at some point it causes us to do some soul searching, to get introspective. You don't want to live there, but there are times where we just need to say, Lord, what's going on? Why is nothing working? Where's my heart in regard to you, God? Is there something I need to know that I'm missing right now? Which is exactly where the Israelites went. Second verse of chapter 7, and we're going to skip around a little bit in chapter 7. We're not going to look at every verse, but chapter 7, verse 2. It was a long time, 20 years in all. This is how long it had been since the ark had come back to Judah, but it was still down in this place called Kiriath Jearim, and in the line of the and in that word and in there is, and nothing's been going right. Everything's been going wrong. And so, what did they do? It said, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. Now, let me just give a heads up. When we're in those kind of times, and this isn't always the case, but when we're in those kind of times where, you know, it's just every decision seems to be a bad decision. Everything I do doesn't work. I'm losing ground. Or maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's just I'm feeling so much pressure because of what's going on in the world around me. And Lord, it's such a heavy weight. Or I'm dealing with this in my personal life. let me just say, when we take the time to do some soul searching, especially if we go before God, David once said, Lord, if there's something, look into my heart. If there is some hidden thing that is causing destruction in my life, and especially destruction in my relationship with you, show it to me. I want to see it. When we do that, I let me just warn us, there may be as a result some mourning. Not always the case. Sometimes you search your heart and you realize, no, it's just, you know, it's just a hard time. But there may be, God will identify some things in your life that shouldn't be there, some decisions that shouldn't have been made. He may identify that there's been movement in your life and in your heart, but not towards God, away from God. Somewhere back there, there was a corner turned, something distracted you, something that got my attention, and I moved forward for it, and as I did that, I was moving away from God. He may do that, and the result will be mourning, because that's important, to have sorrow, to recognize, Lord, I've taken steps away from you. You haven't moved, but I have. Now, it gives me an opportunity in that moment to make a decision. If I choose to try to stuff the mourning, stuff the sorrow, stuff what God has identified in my life doesn't belong there, that's hurting my relationship with him, then I can expect more rough times ahead. Just let me tell you, I'll share that with you from personal experience. God does not ignore it when his children wander. For our sake and for our safety, he pursues us. And it's not because he's that hard-hearted judge that's just waiting for you to step out of line so he can crack the whip. That's not at all what's in his heart. His heart is he loves us, and he knows what our best is and what is best for us. And that's what he wants to happen. And so he pursues us for our own protection. And he'll let the vice continue to tighten until we finally come to that place where we say, oh, God, I need out of this. I need things to change. I've moved away from you and I don't want to be there anymore. Maybe you're in one of those spots right now. You know, I love there's this meme that's been going around Facebook lately and it's just touched my heart. It says, no matter how many steps away from God you've got, it's only one step back. Isn't that cool? But you don't want to stay there. And the Israelites didn't either. They looked at their situation. They looked at their choices. They recognized that it had moved their hearts away from God, and then they sought after the Lord. It led them back to God. That's not always the case. Remember last week we looked at them, and when they first saw the battle, it didn't lead them back to God. It led them to this. God, what are you doing to me? You know, and maybe that's one of our honest initial reaction. Things go sour, things go wrong, and we tend to blame it on God. Even if it was my choice, we can fall into that pretty easily. But they didn't stay there, and now they've come to this place where they're taking a sincere look at themselves, and they're expressed in genuine sorrow for the direction their lives have taken, and they're acknowledged that they've moved away from God, and now they're seeking after him. Travis talked to us a few weeks ago about revival. That's what revival is, coming to life again in my relationship with God. And in the middle of these troubling times, where the peace has seemed to disappear and the joy, it could be that this is the issue. Yeah, there's a lot going on out there, but in the reality, what's keeping me from sensing that it's okay is where my heart is with God. He's always been there, but where is my heart? And God responds to their call, their desire, because He comes. He shows up. He sends them his spokesman, Samuel, who we've been talking some about. And so God sends Samuel to them, and Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, so this is real, this desire, God, I miss what we used to have. I miss that relationship. I know you love me, but right now I'm not sensing it, and I know I've made decisions that have moved me further away from you. If that's where your hearts are, Samuel says, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Asherahs and commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you. Samuel says, if you mean it, if you're really sorry for walking away from God, if you really want that relationship healthy again, then get back to good and godly decisions. It's time to clean house. There's things that, as you look at your life, you say, I know these things don't belong here. They're distracting me. Maybe they're not wrong in them by themselves, but they're not right for me. They're not right for my relationship with God. They're pulling my affection away from the one who deserves the affection. My focus has become all wrapped up in me, my desires, my wants, my will, and not God's. And I need to get them back in the proper place. So God sent Samuel to say, here's to the Israelites, here's what you need to do. You need to clean house. God says, if you sincerely want to restore your relationship and be back under my guidance and my protection, then there are some things in your life, some pursuits, some passions that need to go. You need to get things back into order. I want to ask for a little bit of soul searching right now. Just ask yourself, what is it that's distracting you from God right now? What is it that's got a hold of your heart that shouldn't have a hold of your heart? Shouldn't have a hold of my heart? And maybe your answer is nothing right now. God and I, we're so tight, but and wonderful. But for some at least, something's pulling that shouldn't be pulling and that we shouldn't be responding to. Either purposefully or maybe just unintentionally, we've allowed something to siphon off some of our attention and our affection that should be for God and our focus that should be about God, and it's not there anymore. He's become a sideline. This thing, whatever it is, or things or concerns have become foreign gods. And maybe without realizing it, it's become what our hearts are wrapped around because we almost constantly are thinking of it. It's getting our time. It's getting our devotion. You know, and as I say that, as the soul searching, I can't fill in the blank. I thought when I was working on this message, I thought, well, maybe I could give some examples. And I thought, no, God needs to take us personally to what it is that I know right now is taking his place and it shouldn't be. Maybe it's time to do some house cleaning. A writer in the New Testament, speaking in similar terms, wrote this. He said, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those are the witnesses he spoke of. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, individuals who had committed their life to Christ, in fact, had been martyred for their faith. He says, those are the folks that are surrounding us and that are cheering us on in our life right now as we walk through life on planet Earth. He says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and that sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That word hinders it's an interesting word. Sometimes, you know, sometimes words in the original language just sound like what we feel like. And this Greek word is the word agos. And if you're in one of those times right now, those seasons where just you feel like nothing's going right and you get to the point where you go, agos. It means I'm burdened. I'm carrying heavy weights around everywhere I go. Nothing is right. And it could be the circumstances of the world. And you're carrying it around. You see what's happened in the world, and all you can see is bad. I appreciate what God put on Al's heart this morning, to purposely look for some good, because there is some good out there. But sometimes it can be so overwhelming if you're watching the news every night, and then you're hearing all this bad stuff, and then you see sinful things being proposed, and you know it's wrong, and you know it's ungodly, and you know it's immoral, and yet you're being told you're immoral because you think it's immoral. And it's, Lord, I'm just tied up in knots about this stuff. And I think God would say to you and I who feel that weight, carrying that burden, let me ask you, what can you do about it? What are you going to do about the world situation? And then he'd answer, it isn't your battle. This is my battle. I'll fight it. You worry about what's going on in your own heart between you and me. In fact, notice how he puts it. This isn't your battle. Throw it off. It's not for you. Lord, do you see what's happening in the economy? It's tanking. Everything is getting more expensive. I was visiting with a young man recently, young father. And, he's worried about expenses. They're going up, and he's trying to raise his family and take care of them. And he was distraught, young man. And I said, what's going on? And he says, I'm just so concerned. If I were to get injured, or for some reason get laid off at work, how would I take care? I mean, what if that happened? How would I take care of my family? It's a what if. It hasn't even happened, but he is so weighed down by it. And maybe you feel that too. And again, the Lord says, okay, so tell me, how are you going to control the economy? Well, I can't. Yeah, right. You can be frugal. Do the best you can, but you can't prepare for everything. You can't cover all the what ifs. He says, throw that off, because that's not yours to carry. What about my loved one that's making bad choices? Oh, you can have some input, but you can't make their choices for them. You got to turn that off. Help throw that off. Give that to God. That's his department. It's not your weight to carry, God says. This is my weight to carry. What is it that you're carrying today, this morning? It's not yours. It's too big. You don't have control over the way things turn out. He's saying, throw it off. Put it aside. Give it to me. These are mine. But then there is the other part of this that's also important to think through. As the writer of Hebrews goes on, he says, also throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. That's the other stuff. It makes us go, too, because we realize that there's this thing that's in my life and that is controlling me that should not be there. It's not a mistake. It's not outside pressure from a world that's got me worried. It's decisions I've made, and I know they're wrong decisions. They're sin. They're ungodly. And maybe it's an issue that is returned that so many times you thought, I got to set this down, and I got to get rid of it, and you have, and it's come back again. And he says, throw it off. Now, it's interesting. The word that's translated throw off can be applied two ways. On one hand, it means to lay something aside. And maybe that's the way the writer Hebrews had in mind when he talked about those world problems that are not ours to carry. He said, just lay them aside. Hand them off to me, God's saying. But then it can also mean to cast away, to throw as far away as you can. And I think probably that's what he had in mind when it came to sin. Those issues in our life that do not belong, because he says sin not only weighs us down, but it trips us up. It causes us to fall. It disqualifies us. It sidelines us. Again, in your own heart, as you look into your own heart, is there something in your life at this moment that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt does not belong? It should not be there. It's sinful. And it has entangled your heart, and it has robbed you of the peace and the joy and the relationship that God wants to have with you. It might be interfering with other relationships as well, because that's what sin does. It seeps out. Maybe so far you kind of managed to keep the image up. You know, we do really good at church. Isn't it amazing how we can, you know, we put on our nice clothes and we put on our smiles and we come to church and, you know, how are you doing? Fine, great, everything's fine. And inside we know that's just not the case. And sometimes we know it's not the case because we know there are things in our life that do not belong, even though right now I'm doing a pretty good job of pretending. I know it shouldn't be there. God's saying, like just like the Israel, search me out. Turn back to me. The people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord, and hear the answer, and he will deliver you out of the hand of your enemy. I don't care what it is, because he loves you. No matter how many steps away from God you've taken, it's only one step back. Now, let me speak to maybe someone else that's here. Maybe you, when I talk about a relationship with God, that's like a foreign language. What does that mean? How can you have a relationship with God? I want you to know that's what he's all about. We talk about this a lot here. He is not about religion. Religion is all about what things that I need to do to make myself acceptable to God. You'll never make it. I don't care how your list is. You're not going to make it on your own. God wants relationship. He stepped towards you because he loves you and he wants you in his family. He wants you to become his child. He wants to be your heavenly father. And that can happen in such an easy way. God has offered you, all of us, forgiveness of everything we've ever done that separated our relationship with him. All we have to do is accept that forgiveness. It's a gift, he says. That's Jesus paid for that gift on the cross. All you have to do is say, Lord, I do believe you love me, and I do believe you want me to be in your family, to be your child, and you've promised you'll forgive me if I just ask. And so this morning, God, I'm asking. Please forgive me. Please bring me into your family. And he will. Guaranteed. He promises. Let's bow. Lord, we want to be wise about the world situation we're in. We want to be good lights, good salt, as you call us in the Word of God, as examples of how we want to reflect you in the world. We want to be godly in those conversations you allow us to have. When we have opportunity, we want to always show how much you love the people around us, because you do. But sometimes what this calls for and what we really need in our life is some introspection. The heaviness we're feeling, the weight we're feeling is not about the world. It's really about our personal relationship with you. And maybe some this morning feel like, boy, I came in this morning, I just feel so far from God. In fact, I'm here maybe hoping that something would clue me into what's going on. Maybe decisions that have made lately have been just disastrous. They've caused conflict and struggles and heartache. And so we know something's not right. And so, Lord, in honest hearts, we come to you and say, Lord, identify what it is. If anything has grabbed my heart that doesn't allow, it should not be there, Lord, show it to me. And then I want to, with your help, I want to lay it, I want to throw it away, throw it aside. I want that peace and that joy that you've promised, that you want me to have as your child, that sense of security, that sense of knowing that I'm loved no matter what my circumstances. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has never stepped into that relationship with you, I pray that this morning is the morning they will, that they will understand how much you love them, how much you desire for them to be your child, to be able to call you Heavenly Father, to look forward to spending forever with you. And all they need to do is accept that gift of forgiveness you've offered. Thanks, Lord. Your heart for us is so big, it overwhelms us. And your grace is so amazing. Thank you. Amen.
Church, would you stand and sing with me as we close this morning?